So tonight we are talking and we continue our series on the nine. The nine. I don't know why I said it like that. I don't know. Sometimes like I the nine. It's like it's cooler if it's a deeper sound. The. It's not cooler, guys. Put your hand down, bud. You ain't got to tell me. I know. On the nine. So who can tell me so far what we've talked about? The nine. Where's it at, first of all? Where's it at? Galatians 5? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Does anybody know what it says? You know what? I just heard self-control like 10 times in a row. Self-control, self-control, self-control. So good job. Pat yourself on the back. Don't pat your neighbor. We keep our own touches to our own selves. Throw up that scripture for me, Jen. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Say it with me. Love. Let's try this one more. What does with me mean? What does with me mean? Together, at the same time, in unison. Let's try it again. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So patience is funny story. I actually picked this one. The first time I preached on patience, I did not pick it, and I pitched a fit, and my pastor at the time looked at me and said, apparently you need to preach on it, and I said, thanks a lot, Pastor Reverend, sorry, sir. Patience is defined as this: the ability to tolerate or accept delay, trouble, or suffering without getting upset. Who can absolutely do that with no issue? If you're waiting in line at Chick-fil-A, who has patience? Do you know why we have patience at Chick-fil-A? Because it takes 5 seconds to get through the Chick-fil-A line. If you're standing in line for a ride at Disney, do we have patience? Yes. If you're standing in line for the premiere of the movie of the century, do you have patience? Yeah. You know it's going to take you a while, right? Right? Do you have patience when people say things that they shouldn't? Do we have patience with siblings who get on our last nerve? No. You know what? I'm in the middle of nine. Take that in for a second. The middle of nine children. You would have thought that coming out of that type of environment, I would be the most patient person on the planet, and I am not in the least bit. But for some reason, out of all of the fruit of the Spirit, out of all the things that are comprised and that make the fruit of the Spirit, the one thing that everybody seems to struggle with is what? Patience. What's one of the number one things that you hear? It goes something like this. You know, that's still a fruit that I just don't have. Well, bud, let me tell you, that means you've got holes in your fruit. Because Pastor Brian, I don't know if you guys remember, who was here the first week that we started? Fantastic. Pastor Brian said this. He taught you that the fruit, we believe that it's singular. It's one fruit. And, you know, it's funny because... let me tell you this first. There's synonyms for patience. I'm going to give you two that I like the best. Understanding and staying power, which means sticky power. It's sticky. It doesn't go away. By default, obviously, not patient. But when I was getting ready, I had several opportunities to practice patience. You know, my kids move at a snail's pace. Has anybody seen that meme video where there's a snail and it's moving really slow and somebody said an actual picture of my kids getting ready in the morning? I don't know who snuck in my house, but that was sweet of them. And the whole time I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. Guys, seriously, we've got to go. And they don't. And Pastor Brian's really slow like that too. Don't tell him I said so. Thank you for that reminder. But many times the Holy Spirit, he reminds me of this scripture and it over and it echoes in my ear. Have you ever had something that just echoes in your ear and it kind of drives you crazy? Like maybe something that your mom or dad says, or maybe something that Pastor, not yet, but maybe something Miss Vanessa said and it's stuck in your head. I don't know what just happened. that was weird. Foresight. And it's something that she said before and gets stuck in your head, or something that Mr. Andrew or Miss Heather or Miss Jennifer, they've said something to you. It could be something Mr. Lucas has said too. It just sticks in your ears and it's stuck there forever. And when you go to do something specific, it just rings and you're like, get out of my head. Well, the Holy Spirit did this to me and he said, let patience have its perfect work. What? What is that? God, I don't like that idea. And I'd go to deal with something again and the Holy Spirit would speak again, let patience have its perfect work. I don't like that idea. Let's have a new one. Give me permission to rip their face off. God, I like that idea a lot better. Give me permission. Have you ever had a moment where you just want to snap? And you would feel amazing if you could just let it loose. And you don't, because you are working in that other fruit of the Spirit called self-control, and you don't. And it's difficult sometimes to hear those things repeat over and over and over. So I said, okay, God, let patience have its perfect work. So I went to the Word, and it says this in James chapter 1. Do you guys have your Bibles? Apparently. That's a good book. Okay, James chapter 1, it says this. In verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Does that sound very joyful? I don't think it's joyful. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Well, then, God, I don't really want you to produce it. We can do without it. Verse 4, it says this, but let patience have its perfect work. Dog, bless it. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So, God, you're telling me to let patience have its perfect work because you don't want me to be missing anything? Does this stick with anybody? So I've told you, Pastor Brian's told you that the fruit of the Spirit is one fruit. So if you have love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, and no patience, are you complete? James says you're not. Let patience have its perfect work so that you're complete, whole, in one piece, lacking nothing, nothing at all. God doesn't want you to lack any good thing that he has for you, right? So this is a conversation I had with somebody one time about the fruit of the Spirit, and she laughed, and it was not Vanessa. She was looking at me like, if you even tell a story. No, it was not Vanessa. It was a friend of mine from in Missouri. And she said this. We were talking. And just, you know, you ever just have these random weird conversations about the Bible all the every day of my life? Maddie Bailey? I'm just teasing, baby. I love that you love the Word so much. And she said this. She said, well, if the fruit of the Spirit is one fruit, I got holy fruit. And I laughed. And I went home and I started thinking about it, and the Holy Spirit began to deal with my heart. This was the first time that God spoke and told me to preach on patience. And I said, holy moly, we're walking around with holy fruit. Have you ever seen a fruit with holes in it? What generally causes a fruit to have holes in it? Worms. Is a fruit any good if it has worms in it? That doesn't count. Hang on. Bring it back in. Bring it back in. What else could cause holes in your fruit? Mold? Rot? What can cause those things? What could cause those things? Decay? Okay, so now look spiritually. Who said it? Who said anger? You're a rock star. Do you want to preach? No? Okay. Anger. So we're looking at our fruit. If we have patience, do we get angry? Y'all, this is like the third time that I've preached. You know this is interactive, or I'm going to call on you. If you have patience, do you get angry easily? Nope. Nope. What else causes holy fruit? What did we say? Worms? So that's things that get in and eat at you? What are things that can eat at you? Bitterness? The devil? Well, that's the thing. Huh? Guilt? Bullies? So, time out. Let's think about that. Bitterness and guilt. If you're patient, will you be bitter? If you're patient, are you going to be bitter when somebody hurts your feelings? Why? Because you're going to forgive them? Because it never got in your heart in the first place. It didn't affect your fruit because you had patience. You were complete, lacking nothing. But when you're bitter, bitter can destroy you. Did you know that there's actually a disease in plants that's called bitterness? Does anybody know what it is? It is. It eats away at the plant from the inside out. And it's literally, when it's defined, and I can't remember the name of it right off the top of my head, but I'll look it up and I'll tell you. It literally causes rot in the roots. And in order to get rid of it, they have to tear the entire garden out. Caused by a root of bitterness. First person to Google it after service and come back to me, I'll give you a sucker or something. I don't know. That's all I got. Dark chocolate bar, you got it. You find it after service and you come find me and I will bring you a dark chocolate bar next time. Okay, so those are a couple things I just want you to think about. Hang on a minute, guys. I need you to pay attention. So this is what's funny is, you know, when you think about this and you're like, you're talking a lot about plants. Yes, I am. Be ready because I'm getting ready to go a little deeper. I thought about this, and this is how my brain works is, okay, God, you're super cool. And you do some super weird things in nature, in people. Do you ever look at something and think, how did God think about that? And then you read the word and you're like, why did he compare it to this? You know, Pastor taught a couple months now ago on the sheep and the shepherd, right? And he began to explain about our comparison with the shepherd and the sheep and the relationship between us and Jesus and all of the amazing things that are there. Check this out. I said, okay, God, you're talking about fruit here. The number one fruit that's talked about in the Bible is what? Wrong fruit. I'm talking about a plant. What do we hear about all the time? Grapes. Grapes. All the time. Do you know what's made from grapes? Wine. Do you know what wine is significant of? The Holy Spirit. The pouring out of the Spirit. And the fruit, time out. Let me blow your mind. And the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of a grape is what? When a fruit is pressed, when the grape is pressed, what comes out? Wine. So if our fruit is pressed, what should come out? Hang on. Pay attention. Look, Linda, right here. A grape. When a grape is squished, what happens? What's in it comes out. When you're pushed on and you have no patience, what's going to come out? Your fruit's incomplete. So what comes out is full of tartness. It's sharp. Sometimes it's bitter. But if you have patience and that thing has been perfected, when you squish your fruit, what comes out is the sweet sweetness of the Holy Spirit. Y'all, I know you're teenagers. But that's stinking cool. Let me blow your mind even further. I said, okay, God, I'll bite. No pun intended. Biting fruit. Dad jokes. All right, so I said, God, I'll bite. How many parts of a grape are there? One. Wrong. No. Put it up. Wrong. Guess what? How many fruit of the Spirit are there? How many parts to a grape are there? Go ahead, Jen. Hang on a minute. Count them. three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Where's number nine? Nine parts to a grape. Y'all, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. And when you put all nine parts together, you get the fruit of the Spirit. How ridiculous is that? So this is what I've said. I said, okay, God, so what's the seed? What makes the seed of the Spirit? You can go back to the other slide. What makes us reading the parts of grape? What makes the seed of the fruit? Patience. Why? This is why. All right. I'm going to need you to hang with me because I got some information that I want you to soak up. Can you do that? This is a disclaimer. I'm going to tell you. Does anybody know how to take notes during services? When you walk away, do you ever wish you could remember what somebody said? I have a really great idea for you. There's these things, and they call them notebooks. You should get one and a pen and bring your Bible so that when people are saying stuff that really touches your heart or you have a question about, you can write it down. It's an amazing invention. You should totally use them. So here's the thing. I need you to stick with me, okay? Why is it important that there's nine portions of a grape? What does patience have to do with being a seed? Number one, I'm not teaching on botany. I am teaching on the fruit of the Spirit. Number one, seedless watermelons are produced produce. We just jumped from grapes to watermelon. Yep, we did. It is produced produce. They contain all of what we want and nothing that we don't want or anything that's inconvenient. What am I talking about? The seeds. It's completely inconvenient to have seeds in your watermelon because when you're trying to eat it really fast, you're going to choke on a seed or then you're going to grow a watermelon in your belly, right? That's what I was told when I was little. We know this as what? Does anybody know what this type of plant is called? Something that's produced produce. Science. Genetically modified organism. What is it called? A GMO. Good job. Are GMOs good? Are GMOs good? No. Mm-mm. GMOs are terrible for you. But it's easier to be a GMO. Listen. This is important. I know that it's weird and I'm using a whole lot of weird things right now, but I want you've got to grab it all and pay attention if you can. It's easy to be a GMO Christian, to look good on the outside. It's easy to have everything that looks like it's right and nothing that's inconvenient. That's the type of Christianity that's shoved down your throats now. How many friends do you have, or how many of you that may even believe that you can do anything you want and it's okay because you have grace and God said it's cool? You can be mad at somebody, cuss them out, and then repent for it later. How many of y'all believe that? Can I tell you something? I'm going to rock your sweet little world. That is a lie from the devil. Yes, God's going to forgive you, but why would you want to live your life short of grace? Well, what do you mean short of grace? Doesn't that mean that I do have grace? No, you're selling yourself short. Grace is the ability to live a life that you couldn't live elsewise. Why would you want to live a life full of bitterness and anger all the time just to go to God and say, forgive me, I feel terrible for that? God doesn't want you to feel terrible. It's a lie. But it's easy to be a GMO Christian. It's easy. It's easy to not have to forgive. It's easy to say, well, I forgive them, but I ain't never going to forget what they did to me. Is that real forgiveness? Holding on to something so that you're bitter inside, so that every time they walk past, your stomach churns and you want to punch them in the throat? That's not forgiveness. That's not patience. That's not love. And you are completely incomplete, lacking every good thing. That's not the design that God has for you, but it's easy to be a GMO Christian, genetically modified, completely full of yourself and nothing that's of worth. Here's some things that GMOs are known for. They're known for, number one, they taste good. Do what you feel is good. Isn't that what everybody says now? Do what makes you feel good. Do what makes you happy. There's this pretty little picture on Pinterest, and I see it all the time. Do what makes you happy. That's a lie from the devil. The devil is a lie, every part of him. His ugly little nose and all. The devil's a lie. Don't do what makes you happy. Do what makes you holy, complete, lacking nothing. They taste good. It sure tastes good. And number two, they cause terrifying side effects to the human body. Cancer, allergies. Did you know that we are living in a day and age right now where there are more people with food allergies than ever before? Why? Genetically modified organisms. Our food is not natural anymore. Diseases, nutritional side effects, infertility, the inability to have children, and birth defects. So what does this watermelon issue and grapes have to do with patience? Patience is produced by the trying of your faith. If you have faith in Jesus and you are crucified with Christ, like Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ Jesus. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me, right? You've heard that before, probably 50,000 times in here. Verse of the day yesterday. Good job. So if that's the truth and you're in Christ Jesus, then how is it that we can walk around and not act like him? That's rough, y'all. I do love you. Patience is the product of the trial of your faith. So if you're crucified with Christ, then your ability to hold offense is gone. Have you ever been offended? Like super offended? Upset with what somebody said to you or about you? Held on to it for a while? It really hurt you a lot? All you could ever think about? That's offense. Can a dead person get offended? No! That's weird. Offended a dead person? That's not even a thing. It's not even a thing. Yeah, nice. That was a good try, though. So, it's proof. Patience is the proof in the pudding. It's proof that you're connected to the vine. The seed is the proof that it came from the vine. Jesus said this. He said, I am the true vine. And you are I'm not the GMO vine. I'm the true vine. That's what he said. He said, I am the true vine. Patience is a seed that turns and produces disciples. Can you catch that? What does that mean? If patience is a seed that can produce disciples, can you train other people to love Jesus if you're not patient? Nope. Can you disciple anybody? You know, y'all are called to make disciples, every single one of you. It's not just this youth staff that's called to make disciples. If you love Jesus, called by his name, gave your life to him, you are now called to make disciples. You cannot do that if you lack patience. You cannot tell the boy sitting next to you in math class who acts a fool about Jesus if you're not patient with him. When everybody else gets agitated at him and they want to kick him in the throat, not even punch him, they just want to kick him. Everybody else gets aggravated with him. Everybody else just shoves him off to somebody else. Or that annoying girl who does whatever she wants and nothing ever makes sense on what she says. Can you show them the love of God without being patient with them? Why? Do you know why? Because when you were annoying, Jesus loved you. When you did stupid stuff and continue to do, because you're teenagers and stuff happens, I do stupid stuff and I'm not a teenager. And guess what? God still loves me. And if I'm in him, and if I'm dead to myself and alive in him, then don't you think I should act like him? So if his spirit is in me, then it's producing patience, so that where I was once impatient with people, but God was patient with me, now I can exhibit that same thing with them, right? Right? Yep. Patience is a seed that turns, that produces disciples. How? The Bible says this in John 13:35. It says, they will know you're my disciples by your love. It says this in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient. It makes room for the fault of others. Throw up Colossians 3:13 for me. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. What does that require? Patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. It says this. It says, Vanessa, I know that you are human. And sometimes you're going to do something that might get on my nerves. And I'm human. And I will probably get on your nerves. Probably. Sometimes I get on my own nerves. You ever get on your own nerves? Jesus. When I'm hungry, I get on my own nerves. It's terrible. But it says it's okay because God loved me and he forgave me and he forgave my faults even before. I need everybody to pay attention up here and not talk amongst each other unless you got a good word and you want to come share it. Thank you, Jesus. It says this, God, I know that you forgave everything in me that was wrong. And I know that you released me from my stupidity back here and you don't hold on to how dumb I was. So I'm going to look at my sister and I'm going to say, it's okay if you screw up because God forgave me when I was an idiot and I can forgive you when you just do a little bit of dumb. But do we do that? Do we do that for each other in this room? God, I can forgive them of their little bit of dumb because you forgave me of my whole lot of dumb. We don't do that because we think, because the world and this twisted Christianity thought process says, well, you don't have to. You don't have to let it go. You can forgive them, but you ain't got to forget about it. You know what? One of my very dear friends hurt my feelings deep one day. And God put them in my life for a reason. And you know what I had to do? Suck it up, buttercup. Release it to Jesus. Let him handle it. Do what the Bible says and deal with it. And love them anyway. Love them anyway. Love them anyway. It's hard. I'm not talking about, you know, have bedroom conversations with them where you're sitting on your bed and eating donuts and hanging out. We're not that kind of friends no more. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. But maybe they're kitchen table friends or sitting on the front porch eating Girl Scout cookies. Y'all remember that message? Girl Scout cookies. I love you. It says this, it makes room for the fault of others. It's patient. It's forbearing. It's sticky. Without the seed, you cannot reproduce. Without a seed, the seed is patience. Sometimes we don't want that. But I promise you this. You will not reproduce. You will not produce fruit unless you have the seed of patience. There are going to be things that you have to be patient for. And I'm not talking always about people. Sometimes you have to be patient for God to show you things. This earlier we had worship, right? That's good, wasn't it? I thought it was good. I could have seriously just sat in that last song for probably the rest of my life and been happy. It's one of my favorite songs. I love it when you guys sing that song. I love it. And I could feel the presence of God. And there are times when we get in this, okay, we got this, we got to do, we got this and this and this and this. I need y'all to hurry up and sing so that Pastor Anna can run her mouth so that I can get out of here and go eat Chick-fil-A. Because this sounds like adult church problems, but it starts right here. It starts right here. I got to get out of here so I can go send my boyfriend a Snapchat, even though I'm not supposed to send him that type of Snapchat. I still want to. I got to hurry because I got... But the Bible says if you wait on the Lord, you ever feel like you're weak and you can't go anymore? Sometimes it takes patience to wait in the presence of God for him to change your life. How many times do we come up to the altar sometimes and we want to, okay, Holy Ghost, do your thing real quick. I'm going to give you maybe 2 minutes. I did my bit. My youth leaders saw me come up. My friends came and prayed for me. Okay, it's time to go. And you walk out of this room the exact same way that you walked in here because you weren't patient and you didn't wait for God to complete the work in you. Let patience have its perfect work so that you'll be complete, lacking nothing. There are things that sometimes God wants to do in your life, and you'll get to this point right here and you'll say, God, we got a time limit. I got to go. I'm so guilty in the morning. I'm the laziest human on the face of the planet. I'm a sloth in the morning. And it is awful. And I would rather wait on Facebook to load than wait on the Lord. And I'm going to tell you this because it's important at your age right now for you to learn how to wait and be patient. Be patient and spend time with God. Let the time pass and spend time in his presence. It's okay. It's okay to get lost for a few minutes. It's okay to get lost for a few minutes. I think Miss Heather may fall over if she tries to stop worship and y'all still worshiping out here because you just want to be patient and spend time with God a little bit longer. But in your waiting on him and your patience with him, he's doing things in your life that not a single one of us could ever do. Be patient and wait on the Lord. He wants to do things in your life. God has great plans for you. And I promise you, none of it can be accomplished without patience. I know you're young, but how many of you have a promise from God that you believe that God spoke to you, or you've been told that God says this over you and you're trying to figure it out? Raise your hand. There's something in your life that you feel like God's given you, a dream that you've got. Is it going to happen tomorrow? Can I raise my hand? Is it going to happen tomorrow? No. It didn't happen yesterday either. And I'm super agitated about it. God, when will the thing that you told me actually come to pass? And it may just be for a couple of you, and this may be for a lot of you, and some of you may hold this until 10 years down the road, and then you're going to remember this moment. God wants to do something amazing in your life. And it's not going to happen overnight. It requires patience. And it stinks. I have laid on my face before God and cried, bawled my eyes out till they were swollen and I looked like I got beat up in a hockey game. Swole. Bad. And just cried because I so desperately knew that God said this and I don't see it yet. There may be people that you're praying for those of you who know Jesus and who pray and do that thing, because there might be people in here that y'all just come to church just because you got out of the house and you didn't have to do chores for 2 hours. And that's okay, because guess what? We're going to give you Jesus. There have been things that I've been holding on to since I was your age. How old are you? 16. I was 16 years old when God spoke over me and what my destiny would be. 16. I was 17 years old when God gave me a microphone and told me to preach in a dream. What? 17 years old, I had a vision of me preaching across the platform. I saw exactly what I was wearing and everything. 2 months later, my pastor looked at me and he said, "You're preaching. Great, on a Wednesday night." No, on a Sunday night in front of 200 people. You have got to be kidding me. And it happened just as God promised. There were other things that he began to speak over me and into my life, and they've not come to pass yet, and I'm getting old, or I feel like it. And you know what the Holy Spirit says? Let patience have its perfect work. Because if you try to go into something too fast, if you try to do something that you're not ready for, what's going to happen? You're going to fail. Does God want you to fail? If God puts you to it, will you fail? Absolutely not if you do things in his time. No way. You won't fail. When he says go, Des, you ain't going to fail, bud. You cannot fail in your obedience to him when you were patient and you waited on his timing. I promise you that. I promise you that. Patience isn't easy. Personally, I think it's the suckiest part of it. Can I say sucky? I did. Don't tell on me. It's the suckiest part of the whole thing. Patience. It's hard. It's uncomfortable. I don't like it. I continue to not like it. I continue to throw a fit. And the whole time I say, God, let me be patient. Help me in the waiting to see you. Help me in the waiting on this person next to me who gets on my nerves to see you. Help me to see you so that I can see them how you see them. That's what patience is. I don't want to be a GMO Christian, God. I don't want to just be manufactured. Because here's what we need to understand, and I'm wrapping up very quickly here. What's manufactured dies. A manufactured watermelon will never reproduce another watermelon. All that it was water and melon and nothing else. God, I want to be made up of more than just water and melon. I want to leave something. I want to have something attached to my legacy. I want my legacy to be Jesus. That maybe when I leave the school that I'm in and I graduate high school, that when people think about the fact that I was there, all the underclassmen that I spent time with, I want them to know that I was kind, that God loves them, and that Jesus came for their lives to be changed. That's not going to happen if you have no seed. That's not going to happen if you're not patient. It's just not going to be a thing. You cannot reproduce. Anything that was manufactured has to be remanufactured. And the only thing that can be said left is it was so good. Well, that was fun. It was cool while it lasted. There's nothing less left. No root was made because there was no seed. It all withered up and it died. And all that's left is the stench of rotten, holy fruit. Because here's what we do know. The Bible says this, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, nothing happens. Here's what happens when your fruit will fall to the ground. Because one day your fruit will fall. It's just a thing. Here's what happens. If your fruit has seed, that seed will root. Who read their book, Rooted? Was it rooted? It was something. Grounded. Had a tree on it and some roots. I don't remember. We talked about being rooted and grounded for like 2 months. It was Green Book. I don't remember what it's called. Grow Down. You guys were part of the Grow Down series in Sunday school. We talked about how roots grow down. When your fruit falls on the ground, if it's not holy or rotten and missing seed, it's going to root. It's going to produce. Your legacy, what you leave. When your fruit falls to the ground when you leave high school, it can produce if you have seed. It's God's desire for each one of you to produce. Fruit. I'm just a kid. Oh, stop it already. So sick of hearing that junk. From every generation, they make excuses of why God can't use them where they're at. Can we make a pact tonight? Let's stop making excuses. I'm looking at a room full of world changers. I'm looking at a room full of people who have the ability to impact the world as we know it right now. Tomorrow's not yours. Today is. You're not the future of tomorrow. You're the future of right now. You're shaping the world right now. No excuses. Not when you're 30. Not when you're 40. Let your seed produce good fruit right now. You have the ability to bring revival. Do you know what that even is? You have the ability to spread Jesus to everyone you know, to see a ton of people come to know him, to see a school that's battled and riddled with depression and brokenness and cutting and anger. You have the ability to bring Jesus and see them completely transformed. Have you ever seen the videos that people share on Facebook where this football field all of a sudden turned into a prayer chamber and everybody's praying and they're crying and everybody's like, oh, this is so good. We need revival in America. You know what's going to bring it? Not a bunch of old people sitting in a sanctuary. A bunch of 13 and 14-year-olds, a bunch of 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds who decided they're done with having holy fruit and they wanted God to use them. And they decided, you know what? This is going to be the hardest stinking thing I ever do. But God, I want you to produce patience in me. So that when that kid that gets on everybody else's nerves is next to me, I'm going to love him. Just like you love me, God, when I'm annoying. When that kid that's angry because his dad beat the daylights out of him at home and he doesn't tell anybody is standing next to me and he's angry and cussing everybody else out, I'm going to stand there and love him, God, because I want patience to produce its perfect work in me. So that when I'm gone, when I'm not in this room anymore, God, when I leave this school, that everybody knew that I was yours. And all they could tell, and all that was left with them, is somebody loved me. What made them different? You planted a seed. And you may not see them come to Jesus, but the Bible says it's some plant, some water, and some reap the harvest. But the Bible also says this, the time is coming when the harvesters will overtake those who are planting a seed. I'm looking at a room right now full of seed bearers and harvesters. Because while y'all throwing down, somebody behind you picking it up. And you have the ability. You have the ability, the anointing, the calling, life to change your entire school for Jesus. You do. And you may never see it, but I promise you this, if you're patient and you wait on God, if you're patient and you love people, y'all, where am I going? If you're patient and you serve those that get on your nerves, love God, love people, serve others. Love God enough to wait on him. Love people enough to be patient with them and serve them. Be patient enough to wait on them without being hateful or bitter, and watch and see what God does. I truly believe it. I've said it 51 times tonight that I'm looking at a room full of people that are called to change everything. Man, that puts patience in a whole different perspective, doesn't it? Do y'all want to learn how to be patient? Good night, it sucks. But it's so worth it. It's so worth it. And it's going to be amazing. Would you guys bow your head with me? Close your eyes. If any single part of anything that was said tonight speaks to your heart and you say, God, this is going to be hard. And I may not understand everything that she just said because some of it was word soup. And I'll never remember it. But God, I want to be patient. I just want you to lift your hand right where you sit. Nobody's looking. It's not even a thing. God, you see every single hand in this room. God, I want to lift my hand. I would lift both, but then I won't have a microphone. God, I want you to teach me how to walk in the patience, God, that you've deposited in me through your Spirit. God, because I know that when your Spirit came, God, that you gave me everything that was available. I don't want to be a GMO Christian, walking around with things inside of me, God, that don't produce anything that's good, but all that it produces is cancer, God, and offense and bitterness. But God, we want to produce good fruit. God, I'm asking, Lord Jesus, over this room, God, of world changers, from young to oldest in this room, God, I'm speaking over them, God, that this is a room full of people that will change this region for the glory of God. God, that everywhere that they go, God, when they walk in the room and when they walk out, God, they're dropping seeds. God, that will reproduce because of the patient waiting on you, God, because of the patiently loving others, God, and the patiently serving those around us, God. We want to be known by you. We want to be known by love, God. We want to be known by our fruit, fully and complete, lacking nothing. God, I pray over their homes. God, I pray over their families, God. God, you do what's necessary to position them, God, to position them for great things. Shine through them, God. God, if they have families, Lord Jesus, that don't know you, God, or just pretend to know you, God, I ask, Lord Jesus, that through these students, through the adults that are in this room, God, that your glory shines so much, God, that everybody around them is affected and changed. The only way that you can do it. Because we can't do it, God. We can only do it in you, through laid down lives in you. God, and I thank you in advance for the great things you're going to do with every person in this room. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the anointing that you have in this room. God, and I thank you for your promise to pour out your Spirit on all flesh in this room. And we give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you praise. And everybody said, amen.